Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Dota Obs Podcast. I am your host, Bobo. For today's episode, we are going to be focusing on positions and specifically the carry positions. We'll be diving a little bit more in depth about them and what their roles are, how to play them, and kind of what is overall expected of them. As mentioned last week, as we all know, the positions are divided by roles 1 through 5. And out of those 5, 1 through 3 are usually carries in some form or another, meaning they have higher farm priority. And 4 and 5 are supports. And just to do a quick recap, 1 is the hard carry, 2 is the semi-carry or mid, 3 is the offlane, 4 is a soft support or roamer, and 5 is the hard support. And even these can kind of be subjective, I guess, is how you could put it. Usually the most concrete ones is 1 is the hard carry, 2 is the, or 5 is the hard support, because those are like the most common staple roles. And what heroes fill these roles is determined by a wide variety of factors, including the hero's stats, their spells, the amount of gold and items they need to perform. Some heroes have great spells early on that have like a lot of utility or disable, such as Crystal Maiden or Shadow Shaman, while other heroes need a lot of time and gold to come online, such as Spectre or Phantom Lancer. So what are the specific roles of these positions? Well, let's dive in. So diving into position 1, let's just start from the top. Let's do with the hard carry position. The way that is kind of that I've always understood it early on was the hard carry, you just farm. The easiest advice that I got when playing carry is you should always be hitting something, whether that be a tower, hero, or creep, just always be hitting something. And basically what that means is as soon as you're done with the team fight or taking an objective, instantly move on to hitting creeps in some way. Just be as efficient as you possibly can with acquiring gold through, you know, either hitting heroes, the tower, an objective, or just farming the jungle or creeps, anything on the map. A hero being a hard carry means that they are quote-unquote carried by their team throughout the beginning of the game into the late game where ultimately victory relies on them. The reason why they are carried in the beginning of the game is because, I mean, often hard carries are not good at all at the beginning of the game. They need to be babysat a lot, and this is why the supports will go with them to kind of help, you know, this is why they have good disable spells or good utility spells early on to help ensure protection of the carry. Yeah, so as the game goes on, usually the carries get stronger and stronger as they acquire more gold and items. Let's take Phantom Lancer, for example. So at the beginning of the game, essentially, he's pretty useless. He doesn't have any lockdown spells. He has a fairly decent nuke in one of his abilities, and he has a disjoint dodge spell that he can use to help, you know, escape or to dodge incoming damage or projectiles. His ult creates more illusions of himself based on a proc, meaning every attack he lands, there is a percentage chance that an illusion will spawn. Then those illusions have a smaller proc chance to do the same thing. So as you can see, like his spells, it's not really like a good early on. And even his ult is reliant on his attack speed, which again, he doesn't have great. He has pretty okay like agility gain. It's pretty respectable, but it's nothing like absolutely amazing. But so even once he hits 6, it is essentially a power spike, but it's definitely not, you know, one where he can start rotating around and start joining team fights right then. So usually once he gets Treads, Diffusal, and Manta, he starts to come online. Even before he gets Manta. Once he gets Treads and Diffusal, he can like join in fights a little bit and actually become a threat. But usually, it's at least those three items that's a pretty stable build on him. But however, those items cost a combined 9,150 gold. And a pretty good benchmark that I've seen is if you can get all those items around 20 minutes. If you get them around there, that's a pretty good time. That's a really good timing from what I've seen. But also what this means is that for the first 20 minutes of the game, he's really not doing that much. If you think about it, he needs these three items to start impacting the game. So that means if he doesn't hit this, you know, the 20 minute benchmark, then his impact is pushed even further back in the game. So you can kind of see, you know, if you're not farming efficiently as a carry and as your impact gets pushed further and further back, usually your chances of winning are also pushed further back as well. Some examples of common hard carries are Phantom Lancer, as we said, Animage, Terror Blade, Medusa, and Spectre. So just a quick recap, the hard carry's job to kind of like do a very big general umbrella like overview is just to farm efficiently. Just get farm, secure it, always be hitting something, and try to hit your timings at a reasonable time. Moving on to position two, known as mid, or the semi-carry, depending on which label you want to look at it as. So often with these heroes, they're better at killing opposing enemy heroes. They're not quite as farm dependent as the hard carry is. They're more so dependent on levels. Another label for these heroes that you will hear thrown around every now and then is tempo heroes. And what that means is these heroes, they hit their stride early on from the solo experience mid that they're getting, because since it's just a 1v1 matchup, all the experience you get from killing creeps, you get, like, the hero gets themselves. They're not having to share it 50-50 with another hero in lane like the other two lanes are having to do. So they try to hit their stride early, and then they try to set the tone for the game, whether that be through taking objectives fast or killing opposing heroes. These heroes tend to be more active on the map, so your whole goal, maybe not your whole goal, but one thing that you often see these heroes do is impose their will and level advantage on the enemy team due to their higher level, pretty much. And often to do this, mids will rotate to opposing lanes at certain power spikes, at certain, you know, benchmarks throughout the game. The most common one being around 4 minutes when the power rune spawns mid. And that could be anything from a double damage rune to a regeneration rune to an arcane rune. And a few others. And what these runes do is they give your hero some sort of buff in a way, and depending on which power rune spawns, they will grab that and then go to the other lane to hopefully get a kill or take an objective. Typically, these heroes don't have great scaling in terms of right-click damage, so they tend to fall off later in the game. And at that point, they usually build more utility items, such as a Scythe of Vice or an E-Blade, to keep up their impact. Examples of common semi-carry or mid-heroes you will see are Puck, Storm Spirit, Dragon Knight, Queen of Pain, Windranger, Pugna. And one thing, like some common themes you'll see throughout these heroes is some of them are very mobile, like Puck or Storm Spirit. Other ones are very good in the lane and good at pushing, like Dragon Knight. You'll never see that hero leave lane. He'll just sit there because of his dragon blood and his innate armor ability that he has. So just a quick recap, the whole goal of the mid hero that has always been easiest for me to understand them is to make space and push the boundaries for your team. You want to try to make space for your carry and rotate with your whole team to keep looking for fights, keep looking for pickoffs, and use your hero's innate built-in advantages to help give you a further advantage in the game. And the last position we will do a quick review on and touch on is position three, the offlane. As I've always understood, it's been easiest for me to understand, is offlane's first priority is to not die. Simply survive and impede the opposing carry's lane as much as you possibly can. Common traits offlaners will have is these heroes tend to be frontliners and be very tanky and build a lot of utility items or have some sort of utility spell, whether that's a good initiation spell they have, like a long-range stun, or a big AoE teamfight ability. You know, something like they bring a lot of utility to the table for their team. Some of these abilities and some of their other innate abilities will help them endure a lot of punishment or escape quickly, or, as I said, provide a good team fight presence. usually these heroes can secure a reasonable amount of farm even when being bullied out of lane, so they can still at least stay relevant, because oftentimes these heroes off lane a while ago, a long time ago, it was known as a suicide lane because only one hero would go there, and then you'd have a dedicated jungler, then the one hero mid, and then you have the two heroes in the safe lane. So that's why for the longest time, it's just these heroes have been very tanky, beefy ones that have built a lot of aura items. It's changed a little bit more now since it's a dual lane that you will see almost every single game. But often these heroes, they will initiate or draw aggro in some way. They want all the attention to be on them due to their natural survivability. Some examples of some common offlane heroes are Tidehunter, Underlord, Bristleback, Darkseer, Brewmaster, Mars, and Axe. And obviously these heroes are all ones, if you're familiar with the game, a lot of these heroes are very just super beefy and tanky. Just because, you know, a hero is very tanky doesn't necessarily mean he's the best in the offlane, and doesn't mean he has to go there. Or like if you pick a little bit more of a squishy hero that you can't go in the offlane, these are just the most common offlane heroes that you will see. So a very quick recap on these heroes, or on the offlane position, is don't die, harass the opposing hard carry, and provide team utility slash needs that will help you, you know, your team survive or fight or push is the most common, you know, the most common things you will see them build. One thing to keep in mind is that not every hero mentioned in these roles is exclusively tied to that role. Not every offlaner, as I said, has to be a big tanky hero, and not every hard carry needs three items before being able to join in team fights. Some carries are better late game than others. Some carries actually, you know, benefit a lot more from more items than others, but that's, you know, where that's where like the complexities and intricacies of Dota really shine through, what makes a game so unique. And the builds for every hero vary as well. You know, makes them very malleable to the varying situations in the game. The heroes, the heroes I mentioned are more traditional in these roles, and the ones you see most often in lane. As you play more and gain more experience, you will see these heroes shift to other roles, and kind of, you know, sometimes you'll even see some like traditional mid heroes all of a sudden be like a five, or sometimes you'll see, or vice versa. Although I can't think of any examples off the top of my head of that one, but a prime example right now of a hero going through kind of a chameleon shift phase during the meta is Death Prophet. For a long time, Death Prophet was exclusively played mid and on rare occasions in the offlane. But now, if you look, especially in pro games, she can operate from any position from a two all the way through five, any one of those. You can see her picked at in any one of those, and she operates pretty well. Like what she brings to the table, she brings a lot of good utility. She has great laning presence, so if she's a support, she can trade really well with other opposing heroes, and she has a really good team fight ability, so she can just activate that to push the team away, or to push a tower or objective, or just to help bring like sustained damage to a team fight. And that's just a very small example, and just an example of a hero right now in the current patch that we can see that is totally like gone through like a pretty interesting shift. Another quick example is Outworld Devourer, but I feel like that hero's changed all the time. You know, if you look at every single patch notes, his patch notes list is like a page long, I swear. You know, that hero's really fun, but he's either like too strong or too weak. He's one of those unique heroes that I feel like is hard to find like the right balance with, but he's a traditional mid hero. But now, again, he's kind of like Death Prophet, where you can see him go in the offlane a lot because recently in, I don't know when it was first discovered, but within like, you know, the last patch or so that people discovered, that meter hammer is phenomenal on him. So because of that, he's good in the offlane, or he can be played as a four or a five. I personally have never tried that, and I'm just not good enough to do it. So I don't know from personal experience, but I've seen it a lot, and it looks like it works. You know, if you know the timings, if you have good mechanics, you can make the hero viable in that position. And you know, that's just one more beautiful aspect of Dota that the game brings. It's just how unique every hero can be and how you can discover these new intricate ways to play the hero and impact the game with them. Well, that is all for our second episode of the Dota Ops podcast. I really appreciate you taking the time to just hop on and listen to it. I know it was a very light overview of the carry positions 1 through 3. The whole purpose of it was, again, just to do a brief touch on them, what some of the heroes, what the general roles are, to give help, hopefully help give you a better idea on what to expect with those positions and how to better approach them. I really hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you ever have any questions, for the time being, you can ask on Reddit. These will be posted on there. And I'm in the process of getting a website up and running for the podcast as well, that you'll be able to go on there and see all the episodes and just have one kind of central hub of all the content and everything that the episodes are about. So you can go back and dive a little bit more into everything that is provided throughout the episode. So I really hope you enjoyed it, and good luck, have fun in your future games.